It is Locked On Jazz for the 10th of August. The schedule comes out today, a primer on how to look at it. We'll look at Ricky Rubio in the upcoming season and more with Craig Bowlerjack on the league as a whole and Dante Exum and the Jazz. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers on the Utah Jazz. You can listen and follow this podcast for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all of your smart speakers. You can just tell them, play the podcast, Locked On Jazz. All right, I have to share, maybe this is a sign of how ridiculous I am, but I'm on the road, and so I'm recording this, as you can't tell, by a handheld device. It's what we use for postcast, so it probably sounds a little bit different than usual, but I was totally thinking to myself, like, okay, well, I have to hold this thing. How do I do the drum roll? And then I realized the drum roll's not real, David. No one actually needs to know that you actually do move your hands while you do the drum roll. So, a little bit of insanity. I was hoping to get this show out with the schedule, but it's not coming out till 2 today, so I thought I'd just put this up and give you a little primer on the schedule as well. All right, here's the things to look for when the schedule comes out today. The first one to look at is who don't we play? So you play every Eastern Conference team twice. You play every Northwest Division team four times. And then there are four teams in the rest that you only play three times, two of them twice at home and once on the road, and the other once at home and twice on the road. And that last year cost the Jazz the third seed. The Jazz, now it turned out fine. They won in the first round of the playoffs and might have, you know, would have played the Warriors in the second round instead of the Rockets. But the Jazz would have been the third seed had they had a better schedule last year. I have no doubt on that. The Jazz, the four worst teams in the NBA last year were the teams the Jazz only played three times. It may turn out we only play the Warriors three times this year. We may only play the Rockets three times this year. Frankly, I think last year, if I'm doing it off the top of my head, we only played Dallas, Phoenix, Sacramento, and Memphis three times. If those are the four I remember, I might be slightly off somewhere. So it's in all likelihood, we're only playing the Rockets, the Warriors, maybe the Spurs, and some of those teams three times. So we could have a very advantageous schedule this year. It also could, in theory, mean that the Warriors' only visit to the Jazz is the opening night game. That's a distinct possibility, depending if the Jazz go to Golden State twice and the Warriors only come once. So it'll be curious to see what happens in that regard. And that's the first thing to look for from a Jazz competitive standpoint, is who do we not play? And as I said, you know, in a tightly batched group in the Western Conference, that can make a big difference. Last year, it certainly cost the Jazz the Northwest Division title and the third seed. I don't have any doubt on that. The next one I think you got to look at is, when is Hayward returning? So, you know, dad of the year, Gordon Hayward. Daddy's always happy. And whoever, Jimbo put out Call Gale as a tweet today that was just hysterical, tip of the hat. On that, so when does Gordon return? That finally happens. And then there's the home schedule should just be incredible. I mean, you have LeBron likely twice, maybe not. The Thunder twice guaranteed. The Rockets maybe twice. The Warriors maybe twice. Dame twice guaranteed. Minnesota with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins twice. Giannis is coming to town. Toronto with Kawhi. So the home schedule should just be mammoth. I am assuming the Jazz have sold out of all season tickets, but if you want season tickets, I would actually jump on and call before the schedule comes out. Last I heard, we only had about literally 8 or 9 season tickets left. So tell them Locked On Jazz said and see if they can dig one up for you. The next tier of things to look for are back-to-backs going west to east. Back-to-backs going west to east. So if L.A. to Utah, Golden State to Utah, or to Denver, those are death. That's where the geographical difference of East Coast versus West Coast is so dramatic in the scheduling of the NBA. And so the fact, if you play L.A. at night and then you have to go to Utah and you lose the time and the time to get to the airport in L.A. is particularly bad, you're getting in at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. Utah to Dallas or Houston or San Antonio, or Denver to Dallas, Houston or San Antonio is brutal as well. So when you look at the Jazz back to backs, keep an eye on that. The next one is home stretches. And what I mean by that is you want to make sure single home games feel like a road trip. So if you're playing 3 on the road, 1 at home, 2 on the road, that feels like a 6-game road trip to anyone who's traveling with the team, and the players are what you care about, not me. But that's the key to that whole thing, is that feels like absolutely feels like a road game. So you want to see 2 home games at times, home stretches or a long road trip coming back with some home time. And then if you really want to get into it, I think this is where we'll have an advantage this year, because we have the cohesiveness of being together from last year. But you also want to look at whether or not you get practice days early in the year. Not so much late in the year. Early in the year, do you get practice days? Now, we won't need them as much as most teams, and probably Quinn will be very careful about that. But it should be – it's something to keep an eye on. And what you need for a practice day is probably – you're playing a home game with a day off, or a day off or two, or multiple home games where you have some days off in between. If you play in Portland and have a day off and then play the next day, you're probably not practicing that middle day, and you're really not getting very good practice on courts outside of Salt Lake City. It's hard to get a good practice in on the road. So if you play in Portland, you get in at 2 o'clock in the morning, the players are almost always off that next day. Maybe come in for a flush out, but not a real practice. And then if you play, so you're looking for, hey, we play on Tuesday, don't play again till Thursday or Friday, home sequences where you might be able to get a real practice in. And it probably has to be a little bit of an extended home stand on that. So those are the things to watch for. You also might want to check to see if we're home on February 11th, which is my daughter's birthday, and January 28th, which is my anniversary. Those are the other ones I will be checking. And then if I gave you my kid's ski schedule, I could tell you all the races where I'm trying to make sure I'm home. So those are the things. And there's not a lot of good NBA talk going on right now. I laughed on Twitter. Ben Dowsett, who's always very good, is tweeting out about weddings, and Tony Jones is tweeting out about all sorts of other things. And you know, Andy Larson might still be talking basketball, because he and I are of the same ilk. But the Locked On Jazz Facebook page has been great. And there was an interesting conversation by Jaden Epperson about Rubio's eligible an extension this year. What would you like to see the front office do? There's some really interesting things about Rubio coming up this year. Number one is that Ricky is going to play for the same coach for the first time in 7 seasons. So not only is he playing for the first coach that has given him, you know, great freedom and said, you're okay, and go ahead and take your shots and do all the things you need to do, but he is playing for the same coach, same system, same players for the first time. Now, there was all that talk that, well, maybe he can become Jason Kidd. This is where you're going to find out. He may really turn out to have a great season. His second half was superb after a really messy first 25 games of the year. He became the heart and soul of the team with his effort, his energy, his commitment to playing. The amount of loose balls a game he gets does remind me of Jason Kidd. You wonder why his plus minus is good all the time. And now you have him in a comfortable circumstance where he feels at home, where he feels loved, with a relationship he likes, with a coach he trusts, with teammates he knows, all of the things that should help a point guard. Furthermore, the word on him is that his offseason work has been just great. And, you know, I think there's something to it. I think all these guys work really, really hard. But when you're in an environment where you feel loved and you feel cared for and you have guys you like around you, you know, that extra workout's not hard to put in, because you're putting it in as much for them and to be truthful to them and to not let them down as you are just for yourself. It's much easier to motivate for other people than for yourself solely. And I think Rubio has that capability this year, and that should help him out a great deal. Facebook group is still going great. Want to welcome Tim Neal, new member, Adam Thomas, a new member, Matt James, Isaac Lundstrom, Tyler Tuckett, Michael Howell, Logan Bradley, Steve Jacks, Bubba Nearings, Luis Rojas, Blake Pratt, Tyler Cravens, Jeffrey Miles, Robert Curtis, Jordan Hendricks, Tally Barth, Carter Holliday, Steven Ritter, and David Nicholson, along with Tim Peterson. Thank you all for joining the Locked On Jazz Facebook group. It's been super to have that conversation. Craig Bowlerjack is coming up next. We'll talk about the, we'll open it up by talking about the rest of the NBA, LeBron, how he sees the West, some of those kind of things, and then we'll move the conversation from there back to the Jazz in the final segment. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. Murdoch Hyundai Birthday Bash. The Murdochs have been with the Utah for 92 years now. We bought the Hyundai Santa Fe because I did all the research, looked at it, thought it was the safest car out there with the most safety features, with the most space. Partially, our 16-year-old just got his driver's license and is driving, and that's the car he'll drive most of the time. But it's not his car, right? We're doing that whole game. Because it's got the safety features, and that's actually what all the ratings just came out. The Santa Fe just blew the ratings out for safety. For all the safety features. So really, congratulations to Murdoch Hyundai and the Santa Fe for all the awards they just won in that regard. There's some great deals going on right now. 4646 South State Street, also in Logan and Linden. Say hi to Blake for me. Oil changes for life, brakes for free, special this month. Plus, you get car washes for life, safety inspection for life, five-day price match guarantee, and the famous five-day exchange policy, and the famous price match guarantee. And, of course, you get America's best warranty, 100,000-mile, 10-year warranty with Hyundai Assurance. It's Murdoch Hyundai, Linden, Logan, and Murray, murdochhyundai.com.
Another day with Craig Bowlerjack, because there's really no such thing as too much Craig Bowlerjack. And this is why they just put out the Andy Larson, Salt Lake Tribune, had the news article over the weekend. The Jazz like had the fourth best TV ratings of any team in the league, I think it was, San Antonio, Oklahoma City. Let me see if I make sure. I probably should get this exactly right, but congratulations to the whole TV crew for another amazing year. Warriors, Cavaliers, Oklahoma City, and San Antonio, the Jazz ranked fifth, trailing only those teams in local TV ratings, according to Sports Business Daily and according to Andy Larson in Salt Lake Tribune. So congratulations, Bowler.
No, David, thanks. I mean, we have fun, and you know what? It does help to have a young man named Donovan Mitchell drive the ship on, the Jazz are happy to have jersey sales with Donovan, number 45, and Rudy Gobert, 27. But you know what? It's the team. And you know what? The fan base has always been dedicated, but it hasn't been this way in 20 years, since Carl and John. I think this is a totally electrifying time for Jazz fans, Jazz Nation, and it's fun to be a part of it. And each night is just, I know your calls, you jump out of your seat, I'm jumping and knocking down Booner when he's joining me, or Harpreet, and each night just amazes me. And I think fans are basically addicted to number 45, and that young man is Donovan Mitchell.
I'm trying to get Booner to sign an exclusivity clause, by the way, just to warn you.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, it may. You know what? I mean, he jumped. What did he do? He jumps. Harps comes and goes. People have to understand. He's got five kids. He lives in Atlanta.
He didn't have another
he's
one.
Trying
did
to,
he? I mean, we haven't seen him in a few months. He hasn't
he's trying to balance
kid.
Life, right?
Yeah. I was just worried. We haven't seen Harper in a few months. There aren't any more kids, are there?
You know what? Look, he may drop a bombshell on us when we walk in for a preseason game one. I don't believe so. He did call me, though, and then I called him back. He didn't answer. He called me. I called him back. He didn't answer. There's always that possibility in the Harpring family. I don't know.
All right, so the schedule, frankly, by the time we air this, could maybe be out. It came out on the 14th last year, so who knows when it's coming out this year. And LeBron James will be coming to Salt Lake City twice, and we will get to play them in all likelihood four times. Which,
right.
The whole thing about him going west, that's awesome. To me, the other part of this, yeah, sure, the West is loaded, but we get Durant four times, we get Steph four times, we get LeBron four times, you only get Giannis twice, you only get Kawhi twice now, but boy,
yeah.
you get it is going to be so having LeBron in the West. Just talk about I get amped. You know, I'm calling a game. LeBron's involved. I'm more excited than if it's a regular game. I'm not lying.
No, I'm with you 100%. I can hardly wait to see what the Lakers bring. You know, Ball had his knee scoped, the meniscus. That's going to be a huge story. David, I tell you what, I guarantee you that the national TNT guys will come in, and LeBron's going to be probably dominating every game that he goes back east to play old rivals and then new ones that he begins to build in the Western Conference. This is new territory, man, for the West, to have a player of LeBron's stature. Now, Kevin Durant, of course, a couple of years ago coming from OKC, and the homegrown Steph Curry's and the homegrown Damian Lillard's up in Portland. But this turns the Western Conference, I think, even more upside down, and each night competitive. Each night we hit the air, there's never a night anyway in the league that's boring. But this just, as you said, this amps up the West even more.
So we were talking about the Pelton projections. There's an interesting little thing. So which do you think is more likely? Here's what Pelton has: Warriors, Jazz, Rockets, Nuggets, Timberwolves as the top five. Okay, so no Thunder, no Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
The Vegas line has Warriors, Rockets, Thunder, Jazz, Lakers. If you had to choose one of those two, which would you take?
Well, I tell you, you always want to see the Jazz as high as they can go, but I still can't dismiss the fact that Westbrook and Paul George will be in OKC, but I'm not sold on the fact. Let's break this down a little bit because, again, you have to remember Carmelo was bought out and then signs his deal with Houston. And I know that Houston, you know, gave the max deal, the super max to Chris Paul. Darren Williams was drafted in the 05 draft just ahead of Chris Paul. D. Will's out of the league, and Chris Paul continues to play, but I would never really depend on those legs to get me through 82, let alone maybe 60 games a year. So I'm not sure about the Rockets. I'm not sure how that's going to pan out with Carmelo in the mix. So, David, I tell you, it's a matter of health. I like Pelton's numbers, but I also understand what the line in Vegas is. They're looking at probably, in their mind, bettors who are going to be very heavy, I think, with the Rockets and with OKC. And I think they have a lot of intrigue, too, if LeBron can pull the Lakers back into the postseason. I think, what, I saw them at 7, some, and I see them at 9. So, again, everyone, you know, so-called experts, we can all guesstimate, but it's going to be fun to watch. I'd rather see the Jazz as high up on that board as we can get them.
Common thread on both of them is that the Spurs are out.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad we're doing this because, I mean, since we talked last, the league's taken it's been turned upside down in some regards. You know, DeMar DeRozan obviously just really upset. Thought he was a long term, probably a lifer in Toronto, and felt like he was misrepresented, David, in some of the talks with management. It's really not a fun league at times when you have to make personnel changes, as we know. But Kawhi, I don't know where he is. I don't know if you have better insight. I've talked to a couple friends down in San Antonio, and, you know, there's a real kind of question mark. Pops couldn't save this one, which I thought he could, because he always does, right? He's so well known for his relationship and the way that he handles each player, and each superstar is on the same level. But this one didn't work out this time. And I'm just not sold on the fact that Kawhi goes into Toronto and really dedicates himself with the Raptors. And I'm not sure if DeMar DeRozan is going to really hit the floor running. So that's an interesting story. And look, Tony Parker's gone. Things are changing. And San Antonio has been the most stable franchise since the Jazz, right? They've been on a 20-plus year run of postseason play, very much like the Jazz back in Carl and John's days. So that is intriguing, too, to see them not in the mix in some polls.
Yeah, I mean, something went wrong. Obviously, disastrously wrong. He bypassed $100 million. Like, I mean, that's all. Yeah, there's nothing else you need to know. Something went disastrously wrong. I don't have any insight. The only insight that I got somewhere along the way was that when Tim retired, the old guard kind of expected that they got to run the show, and LaMarcus and Kawhi were like, what are you talking about? Like, this is a new team, new era. Like, what do you – like, you're not running the show. This is our team now. But that doesn't necessarily jive with the stories Jeff McDonald and Michael Wright wrote about about Kawhi saying, I'll do anything for the guys in this room, but not for this organization. So
right.
I don't – so that story doesn't – those don't work together. So I really don't have any idea what happened there. I will go the other way, by the way. If he's right, Toronto wins the East.
Interesting. If he's engaged, they could win the East over Boston.
Yeah,
Boston, so
great.
That's such an intriguing, you know, if I may, I mean, your thought too, I don't know where Hayward fits in. I know that's a topic that a lot of people, Jazz Nation, doesn't want to discuss, but the way that Boston played last year without Kyrie and Rozier played extremely well at the point and Tatum, et cetera, and Brown, I just don't know how this is going to work itself out. Ainge has incredible talent, very much a lot of depth and tons of draft picks still in his back pocket. I mean, you would think that Boston would be the favorite, but at the same time, if Kawhi does work out, I'm with you, but I'm not sure if he will. But that's going to be, you know, the 1-2 punch in the East, in my book, to see the storylines there is, how does Kawhi fit in? How does he, you know, is he there for one and out? He wants to go to Los Angeles. And how does Hayward fit in? Can he find himself in a starting position? Or, David, is he going to be a bench guy? I don't know.
I'll answer your thoughts on Hayward in a second. One quick note on DeMar DeRozan. I believe the Raptors were better in 5 of the last 6 seasons when he was off the floor than when he was on the floor, which means the upgrade to Kawhi Leonard is much more significant than people realize. That's why I say that. Gordon, Hayward in Boston, will it gel? And then a quick thought from Bowler on Dante and Derek's new deals. That's next on Locked on Jazz.
Today's show is brought to you by Intercap Lending. I want to Locked on Jazz. You guys have done it again. It's just totally awesome. So I went by and saw the growth of Intercap. When Intercap is a 40-year-old company, they came to Utah recently, and we've been advertising with us here on the show for some time. And Locked on Jazz, you have done it again, because Intercap, in the time which now they're advertising, they are now up to 11 branches. They had 2 a year ago when we started. They now have 2 branches in Utah County, at Tooele and Ogden. They have the Palace in Cottonwood. And it's really about the relationships they've built with you, the relationships they have with their customers, the relationships they have with real estate agents. That's the core of what Intercap Lending is. You know, if your real estate agent is not sending you to Intercap, ask them why. And the reason real estate agents send you to certain people is because they know that they'll get it closed. That's what the real estate agent doesn't get paid unless the deal gets closed. So they're sending you to a lender to make sure it gets closed. That's what Intercap does. So ask them, if they're not sending you, why not? If you do your loan with Intercap Lending, make sure you mention Locked on Jazz. Steve Carter will help you out, and they'll give you the corporate rate. So give Steve Carter a call. Steve Carter's direct line is 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending, NMLS 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. And congratulations to Intercap and Locked on Jazz. You guys have done it again. This community is just amazing.
So I agree with you, Bowler. I think the concept of all those guys in Boston is going to be interesting. I don't think it's enough to derail them. And frankly, Gordon's unique in the sense that he's probably the most unselfish superstar who doesn't jack the game away from his teammates and will probably be fine. But there's no doubt in my mind that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are not welcoming him in by saying, hey, here's 5 of my shots. Go ahead and use my possessions.
Right. Here, walk in, take my spot. I love you, pal. I'll see you off the bench. Yeah, I agree.
But I think they'll just start Tatum as a 4, Hayward as a 3, Brown as a 2, Irving and Horford. So they'll all start, and I just think it's going to be interesting to see where they all get their shots.
Yeah, I agree. Rozier's the odd man guy off the bench. Most likely that's the case. That's the scenario I would see too, honestly. Some guys may fight that, but, you know, and the other part of this too is, as we remember AB a few years ago having that ankle surgery and he had to go in for a debridement. You know, you hope, I don't wish ill on any player, whether they, you know, they play for the Jazz or not, or outside the West or the East, but you know, it's going to be very curious to see the durability of Hayward and if the ankle flares up and he's got issues. So only time will tell.
All right. Derek Favors signs. What have you just seen being with him all these years of his evolution as a person and a player?
Well, he's grown up, David. I tell you, I remember the day the Jazz brought him in after the Nets traded him with the D. Will trade. And he was just a lost young 19-year-old. He had like a little teeny suitcase, not even a suitcase, man. It looked like maybe a bed case, a pillowcase. I actually, when he showed up in Indiana, oh, man, he's grown up a ton. He's found his way. He's had his own issues up and down and sideways. But you know what? I think there was a lot of questions a year ago at this time whether or not he was dedicated enough to this franchise. Was his defense, was he engaging? Could he accept the fact he was going to start at the four, return to back up Rudy at the five? And I think, you know, halfway through the season, there was some speculation that, no, it wasn't going to work. But then all of a sudden, I think that life changed for him, both on and off the floor, and embraced the fact that he could actually succeed, you know, as a five and a four. I mean, I think in this league, David, as you know, the Jazz want to get away from numbering guys, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And, you know, you're a basketball player who can play multiple positions. He's trying to take a shot outside. I like Favors. I think he's one of the fan favorites, and I think the Jazz rolled the dice, but also understood that he can play a big factor for the Jazz. And if things work out, he'll continue on. And I think that he honestly has gotten to his head that he has a good situation with the Utah Jazz, and that the starting spot at the four and the backup at the five, it can work. And the Jazz seem to go along with that.
It's going to be really interesting. You know, we've never had Jay Crowder and Tabo Sefolosha healthy at the same time. Or on the same
No.
And so it'll be interesting to see. Those are clearly the backup fours. And then how many minutes a night are we really playing Favors in with Rudy? I think will be another one that's interesting. And where we're heading in that regard. And then, you know, all the switchabilities and all the other aspects to things of what you can do defensively. It's a pretty interesting to see what Quinn does with that. But you brought up that Indiana. Oh my gosh, I've never seen a kid who looked like he wanted to be back with his mother and his grandma at the time. His grandmother.
I felt bad for him. Was that like your first year?
I don't know.
Close.
I'm not
maybe
good at that.
Second.
Yeah, I'm not. My first year, because I was calling when Memo tore the Achilles. I called it. So.
Okay. He looked like he wanted to just say, "Mom, I'm coming home," or "Send me a plane ticket, and I'll be there in a half hour, or as soon as I can be." But yeah, he was a kid. He was a kid, and I think that his confidence, David, as we all have. I mean, it was cut down to, you know, his legs were cut out from underneath him. And the Nets gave up on him, and the Jazz took him, and here he is. And I think he really is a guy who believes that Utah is home. Atlanta, of course, is where he's from. But I think he's very engaged with who he is and what he is now. And he's basically grown up, really has. I know that's overplayed sometimes, but he has grown up right in front of us in Salt Lake.
It's pretty funny, or pretty interesting. And the marketplaces were different for both of them, so in fairness. But the player of Derek Favors and Gordon Hayward was supposed to be the next part of the franchise, right? That was the next
mm-hmm.
piece. If Derek had announced, you know what, I just had to go, I'd have been like, yeah, totally, dude. Like, you sat behind Millsap and Jefferson, and then you thought you were the man, and Rudy Kuhlman took your spot, and I got it. You had to go. I understand completely. Like, I would have been like, absolutely, I get it. And Hayward, on the other hand, an entire organization, like, turns it over to Gordon, gives it to Gordon, gives him everything, and he's like, I got to go. And I'm like, what? Like, it's so interesting that there's just how the world works in this league that I'm not sure that the logic on either of those makes any sense.
I would totally agree. You make a great point. If you had to flip it, I'm with you. I would think that Derek, his frustration would have forced him out of the organization because of Gobert's quick ascension to stardom, and kind of felt like he was left out. And I think I can understand that, right? We can understand. He thought he would be the guy. And then Hayward was the guy. And the Jazz desperately, as you said, wanted him to be the face of the franchise. And then just kind of I don't want to overplay it, but all of a sudden just made a quick exit stage left and found his way to Boston. it is what it is. And you know what? I think when you look back on history, David, maybe you will say, hey, you know what? It was meant to be. And all of a sudden, Donovan Mitchell, Dennis finds a player at 13, and look what happens. I mean, that's the oddity of sport. And I think that's the kind of the beauty of it as well. You never know how it's going to turn out. One player leaves, another one arrives, and they take advantage of the situation. I don't know if Donovan, David, would even have this opportunity had Rodney not felt well on opening night, or if Dante Exum had separated his shoulder in the preseason. I'm not sure where Donovan would be right now if those two situations hadn't occurred.
I think I understand exactly what you're saying, and I think Donovan would be a complete star and to be on the cover of 2K and being in Shanghai. I just think Donovan is Donovan. Like, I agree with you. All right, final thing. What do you think, like a year from now, if we hold this conversation, what do you think we've just seen from Dante?
Well, that may be the best question of our convo tonight is, you know, the Jazz paid a very interesting price. Dante Exum, who's been injured two of his 4 years. I think there's a great intrigue around the league with Dante, with his size and his length. And David, I mean, we've talked to him. I think he's grown up too. He was 18, but wasn't even shaven, didn't even carry a razor when he first came to the Jazz. And I think too, honestly, and I would tell him this if he was sitting here with us, is that I think when you come with so much fanfare that you believe it, and you're 18 and you're going to take the league by storm, but it's a process for most, not all, but for most. And then of course the injury, the ACL, the shoulder, but there are moments, and David, I'm sure you called it the same way I have. There's been moments of awe, and I can understand why Dennis rolled the dice and said, you know what, we're going to go and give this guy a true shot. Because if they swung and missed and let him go, they'd be disappointed. But I think also the system works for Dante. And I think a lot of times success is predicated by systems. Some players go and they never succeed because the system doesn't fit their style of play or their rotation or their minutes. But Dante, I think, is in the right place. And I think Dennis feels that way. And I think Quinn must as well. I'm anxious to see if he can stay healthy. Can he attack the rim? Can he be a consistent 3-point shooter? And I think his defense at times, you know, we like, wow, but it's got to be on an every night basis. And I just hope that at age 22 now, he's mature enough to understand that. And Quinn can connect that conversation, that need to him. He's been through a lot. And I'm just curious your thought. He's really an intriguing player with speed, defensibility, and length that really doesn't come along very often. I think that's what probably holds the Jazz in such high regard for his talent level.
Every reason he was drafted fifth is still evident. So if you were going to believe in him still, you needed to sign him to a long-term deal because you couldn't afford to believe in him for 1 or 2 years and then have him go on and play for someone else. So if you're going to re-sign him, you had to do what the Jazz did. And it will be interesting to see how he develops and where what his assets are. It will be and how he maybe most importantly evolves next to Donovan, because it's Donovan.
Yeah.
It's going to be Donovan's
great
show.
Point.
So how does his game match Donovan's in a productive manner?
You know, it's a great point. And I almost feel like Donovan and Tabo, who was injured for most of last season, those are almost like free agent signings in some regard. I mean, some people would say, oh, what are you talking about? They've been with the Jazz, but you know, they've been injured and they come back fresh. And it's two players that really were not rotation players off and on. And it gives just more depth for what Quinn Snyder wants to do on a given night or depending on matchups, David. And I think that's the part of this whole off season why the Jazz decided to stay pretty solid on what they wanted to do. They made a couple of changes, as we know, but, you know, this team's pretty much intact, minus Jonas Jerebko. So let's get the schedule out and let's play.
Schedule's coming soon, and then we get to play. Craig, thank you very much for the time. I know everybody loved hearing you for this extended extended run, and thanks a ton for taking this much time with us and being a part of this week's summer series interview series.
Anytime, David. Thanks, pal.
That was certainly awesome, Craig Bolajek giving us that much time for the whole week in the summer interview series. More coming next week on the program. The schedule will be out. We'll talk about that on Monday for you as well. If you get a chance, send Bowler a thank you at BuckleUpBowler on Twitter. Please thank him for his time and tell him you enjoyed having him on the show. You guys are awesome. Look forward to talking to you soon. We're getting closer and closer. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.